The first reading today is from Acts 7, verses 55 through 60. Stephen was one of the seven men chosen by the apostles to serve tables so that the apostles could be free to serve the word. Stephen does more than distribute food, however. For his preaching of God's word, he becomes the first martyr of the faith. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, they rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today, which we'll read responsively, is Psalm 31, verses 1 through 5 and 15 through 16. I'll begin, and you follow in the bold print. "In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness.
Incline your ear to me. Make haste to deliver me.
Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. For you are my crag and my stronghold. For the sake of your name, lead me and guide me.
Take me out of the net that you have secretly set for me, for you are my power of strength.
Into your hands I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth.
My times are in your hands. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me.
Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. The second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. Christ is the cornerstone of God's saving work and the foundation of our lives. We are God's chosen, holy people who continuously celebrate and declare the mercy of God we experience through Jesus Christ. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And the living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, for it stands in Scripture. See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he is precious, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, and as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. On the night that he is to be arrested, Jesus shares final words with his disciples. As the one through whom God is known, he promises to go before them and act on their behalf. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." But Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do not know him. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to Philip, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." This is the gospel of our Lord. Glory to you, Lord. You may be seated. Please join me in a short prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of life this day in your kingdom. As we hear these amazing words of farewell to the disciples, we are told that there is a place prepared for us, that you have called us by name, you have not forgotten us. So we are beneficiaries of an amazing gift, your life for ours. So bless us, Lord, as we continue to do the work of ministry until the day we can rest in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus is, in fact, saying goodbye to his disciples, and he gives them this wonderful, comforting promise. "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many places, many dwelling places, many mansions, a place prepared for you." What a gift it is to live in this world with that kind of a God giving us that kind of a message. Well, we kind of wonder sometimes what that place is like. So there's a story that's been going around about Skip Hansen. It seems that he has died, and he went to heaven. He was really curious what it's going to be like in that place that God has prepared for him. So St. Peter met him at the gate, started taking him around in different places, and he looked in and went into the place prepared for Pope Francis, and pretty amazed. And then he went down the road, and there was a place prepared for Bishop Tom Akin. And Skip noticed that in every one of these rooms, places, palaces, there was a clock on the wall. And so he just noticed that. Then he went to another room. By golly, it was Pastor Jim Reisenden's. It was prepared for Pastor Jim. And boy, he was impressed. And And then, by golly, he went down to another road, and St. Peter opened the door, and here's a place prepared for Pastor Terry. And then Jim noticed there was no clock on the wall. And he said, St. Peter, I noticed there were clocks on the wall. Why is that? Well, he said, you know, God is an active God, and God pays attention. So that clock ticks every time someone on earth sins. So in thought, word, or deed, every time you see that clock tick, the person where this place is prepared for has sinned. And Skip said, there's no clock for Pastor Terry. Oh, yeah, it's in the back room. We use it as a fan. Oofta. Thank you, Skip. What an interesting time it is for Jesus, who has died and rose and really was not sure when he died if his disciples, if his followers got it. And then when he appeared to them after the resurrection, where are they? They're huddled in an upper room, frightened. That was not helpful. And then Thomas comes and he doesn't believe, or he was told, Jesus was told, you got to come back next week because Thomas doesn't believe. And then he comes and walks along the pathway to Emmaus and walks between two disciples who said, we had hoped that Jesus would be the one to redeem Israel. But in spite of all of that doubt, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, is coming, and the Spirit opens the eyes of all believers to see the gospel, the good news of what God has done in Christ for us. Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit descended, and the church began to take root, the greatest event in the history of the world. Today we're challenged to ask the question, what can I do for Christ and his church until I rest in that room prepared for me? There is a place prepared for every one of you, every one of us who claim the name of Jesus. Well, if we look to Peter, we have some interesting challenges before us. Peter's epistle describes for us an image of who we are. I love the anthem you guys sang, who are we? Who am I? Peter says, you are a living stone. You are built into a spiritual house. That's an amazing admonition. Peter says, if you have tasted the Lord is good, if in your life you have discovered that God in Christ is good, let yourself be built into a spiritual house. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that you get to make the decision. It just means that you get to allow the Holy Spirit to change your life. In other words, when you stop thinking about yourself and realize how many times you have tasted the goodness of the Lord, then find your room in this house until you rest in the room prepared for you in the kingdom of God. If you let yourself be built into this room called church, you will never be the same. If you see the Holy Spirit opening that door for you to this room, calling you by name, giving you the Bethesda suite, this place prepared for your orientation away from self toward others and the world. If you see this happening, you are the most blessed in the kingdom of God because you are God's person from that moment on. As one who has tasted the goodness of the Lord, you will now be ready to enter into the mission of the Christian Church for the world. So what is our mission? Again, we look to Peter. He said, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people." Why? Because you're so special? Because God is so great, and you are a servant of this God. You are a chosen race because you get to declare the mighty acts of God for the world. As a member of Bethesda, you own, pardon the pun, a piece of the rock. You are a living stone, part of a spiritual house, a base camp, if you will, where you are nurtured, nourished by word and sacrament. To leave your Bethesda Lutheran Church suite and begin to climb the mountain that leads you to a place where you may declare the mighty acts of God. And that mountain is different for every one of you. So before you rest in the place prepared for you in heaven, you are being equipped to climb the mountain of love and service for Christ and his church in the world. You, therefore, shall declare the mighty acts of God. What? You declare the mighty acts of God? What might that be? You get to tell the world that you are cancer-free, that it worked for you, and it can work for others. You can bring hope in the lives of people struggling, waiting for a test. But you've been there, and you could say it's okay. You could tell the world that you got this long-expected hard work for a raise or promotion, that indeed life was fair for me, and it can be fair for you. Hang in there. Be patient. God is good. You could tell the world what happens when you tasted the sweet, sweet joy of reconciliation after a heart-to-heart talk with an estranged friend. You could say, yep, forgiveness is real. I can't tell you how good it feels to be your friend again. You can declare the wonderful good news about that beautiful grandchild who has entered your life and how you have spoiled him or her silly. Those are mighty acts of God. These are the mighty acts, the taste of the goodness of the Lord. And this is the work of living stones. Until you are spent, worn out, used up for Christ and his church. Those candles are beautiful, but they're intended to burn up. And when the light of Christ shines in you, it takes work. It takes work to declare the mighty acts of God, to be Christ-like in the world. And you will be spent. The mighty acts of God, the mightiest act of God, is Jesus, the good news of life over death in this world. And you are the disciples of that good news. And yes, for some of God's servants, good news for the world is hard work of justice for all people, standing in the way of unrighteousness, speaking up in the world against evil. That's hard work. Maybe you are one who to declare the mighty acts of peace in this world, and you will settle for nothing less. Maybe you are one who is called to the streets or to the halls of legislatures. Maybe you are one who bears arms, whether it be in our cities as a police person or as a military person. Or maybe you're a politician who's just trying to get it right. That's hard work, but Christ is in the mix. And we are better for it because of those who know who they are and are willing to declare the mighty acts of God. All of us sent out from this base camp, this homeroom, if you will, our churches, all of us sent out across the world to proclaim Christ is alive. So, yes, there is a room prepared for you in heaven. You can count on it. Jesus has prepared it for you. He's gone ahead. And yes, enjoy your room here at Bethesda. Be fed at this altar. Be inspired by fellowship, food, and friends. And be empowered then to leave this room and declare the mighty acts of God outside the walls of this amazing place where we are nurtured and loved and claimed. Do this as you are able, in your own way, moved by the Holy Spirit, because you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. And guess what? There is a place in this church for everyone.